So many times we pray, "I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, God's only Son, conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, crucified, dead and buried. The third day He rose from the dead. He has ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty." How do we know that? Why do we believe that? Many of us have been to fairs or carnivals where it never fails as you're driving to the location. Somebody's bought a balloon for a child or whatever reason, and balloons floating up in the sky and heading for the clouds. And it kind of gives us a chuckle of how these balloons filled with helium rise up like that. And, you know, we buy them, but they slip out of our hands. We've all had it happen or seen it happen at one time or another. Sometimes we get it into our car and somebody rolls the window down on the way home. Out the window goes the balloon. Sometimes this can kind of remind us of what happened with Jesus when He ascended into heaven. When He ascended into heaven, this was what I want to say, sort of the completion of the resurrection package. When Jesus rose from the dead, as Luke soon tells us here, He appeared to many people and taught them for 40 days. But after that, He ascended on up into heaven to be with the Father, to sit at His right hand. And as the balloons that we see float up above the carnivals or the fairs go up, up, and away, and we don't even ever really know what happens to them, it's not so with Jesus. Jesus doesn't just float up, up, and away. He floats up and up and floated up and up. They saw Him. But we know where He is, and that means something or should mean something to you and I today. When Luke wrote the book of Acts, approximately 60 years after Jesus had died, he wrote to one of his friends, which they believe was a Roman official named Theophilus. And he wrote so that there might be a better understanding of some of these things that happened. And as he writes the first chapter of Acts, he shows us in these first 11 verses that Jesus was taken up into heaven, that He had taught for 40 days, so He was taken up into heaven 40 days after He had risen from the dead. And He was taken up bodily before them into the clouds, into heaven. And that He will come back in the same way that He went to restore His kingdom. That's what the New Testament teaches. He's coming back to restore His kingdom. As we look at the book of Acts and Jesus ascending into heaven, we come to the closing of the Old Testament. The Old Testament actually closes in this book of Acts, in this story of the ascension of Jesus Christ. Because as we're going to talk about next week, as Jesus left the earth for the final time and ascended to be with God, sit at God's right hand, the next thing that happens, the Holy Spirit comes down and fills the believers and still fills us today. So, as a closing to the Old Testament and all the prophecies of what would happen with the Messiah, the fulfillment of those prophecies in Jesus Christ, and now His finality of ascending to be with God, from this point on, things really drastically change for the church, for God's chosen people. But let's talk about this a little bit today of what really happened. In the 14th chapter of John, if you remember, Jesus was meeting with His disciples in the upper room, and they were troubled because He was leaving. He says, "Don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in Me. In My Father's house," He's describing a place, "there are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you? And I'm going there to prepare a place for you. I'm going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare that place, I'll come back and take you to be with Me so that where I am, you can be also. And you know the way to where I'm going." Thomas says, "Lord, we don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way to that place? We don't know the destination, so how can we know the direction?" Later He said to them, as He was teaching them in chapter 16 of John's Gospel, "Now I'm going to Him who sent Me, Because I've said these things, you're filled with grief. They were filled with grief because their friend was leaving. But I tell you the truth, it's for your good that I'm going. Because unless I go away, the Counselor will not come to you. And that would be the coming Holy Spirit. When He comes, He'll convict the world of guilt. And unless I go away, He'll not come, and I'll send Him to you. I'm going to the Father where you can see me no more. In a little while, He says, you will see me no more, but then after a little while, you will see me. You see what Jesus is doing? He's laying the groundwork in that last evening with His disciples. I'm going someplace. I'm going to my Father's house where there's many mansions. I'll come back for you, but I'm going now where you can't see me. You'll see me for a while, but in a little while, you won't see me again. But then after a little while, you will see me again. So in other words, He's saying, I'm going to ascend. You won't see me anymore for a while. But then after a time period, which you and I still live in, you will see me again because I'm coming back. And that leads us up to our story from Acts today. What Jesus was doing was setting them up for what was about to happen some 40 or so days later after He met with them in the upper room. Why? So that they would understand when this event happened. So that they would have assurance and peace in their hearts when Jesus did leave. Luke describes what happened. We call this the bodily ascension of Jesus Christ. The bodily ascension of Jesus Christ is what we call this event. It's a historical event because it was witnessed by this group of people that told about it and wrote it down. So it is a historical event. Luke tells it this way, in my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day He was taken up to heaven. After giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles that He had chosen. His former book was His Gospel of Luke. After His suffering, He showed Himself to these men and gave many convincing proofs that He was alive. Well, we know what happened in the miracles He performed in those 40 days. How He appeared to them. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. And on one occasion, while He was eating with them, He gave them this command, do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. John baptized with water, but in a few days you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit. He was laying the groundwork for them. And if you remember, Jesus in His resurrection state ate with them. He ate fish by the sea with them. And that's what Luke is telling us here. On one occasion while He was eating with them, this is what He told them, and just wait, He said, there's something greater coming. So when they met together, they said to Him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom of Israel at this time? And Jesus said, no, it's not for you to know the times or the dates that the Father has set by His own authority. But He says, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. You'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. So He's laying the groundwork here for them. Jesus is, and Luke is telling what happened. Jesus spent 40 days teaching and appearing to them. He said, this isn't the time that I'm going to restore my kingdom. It's not for you to know. Now, as we go on, after He said this, Luke tells Theophilus, He was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid Him from their sight. He ascended into heaven. He was taken up. Where? Well, Luke just got done telling Theophilus, taken up to heaven. It tells us that a cloud hid Him from their sight, meaning He went up through the clouds, higher than the clouds. The word ascended means to move upward or to succeed to a throne. So theologically and spiritually, what Jesus was doing when He ascended here, His earthly ministry was over and complete, and He was now succeeding to His throne of greatness and righteousness at the right hand of God. He was ascending to His position of authority. You see, that's what the right hand is. You ever hear the term, my right-hand man? It's a position of authority. In other words, whatever this guy does is okay with me. Whatever he says is okay with me. It's truth. He works in my stead. He's my representative. Okay? So he ascended right before their very eyes, and the word taken up, or the words taken up here in the Greek, literally mean he went up step by step. As layering one on top of another, he continued higher and higher until they couldn't see him anymore. He went into heaven through the clouds until they could not see him. In chapter 24 of Luke, Luke tells that he was taken up into heaven. Mark says that he was taken into heaven and sat at the right hand of God. Three times in Acts it tells us that he ascended to heaven, to his Father, to sit at the right hand of God. And the Bible is littered with passages that tell us that he ascended to the heavenly realms. Now, what does this mean? Why is this important to you and I that we believe that Jesus was born of a virgin, suffered under Pontius Pilate, crucified, dead, and buried, rose again on the third day, and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty? What does this mean? First of all, I want to ask you something. Whoever had the power or authority to sit at God's right hand, or the abilities? Nobody. Nobody was ever seen ascending, although some were believed to have ascended and claimed by the people they left behind that they ascended, but no one ever physically saw that. And to rise, to ascend and sit at God's right hand would have meant you were going into the presence of holiness. Whoever was righteous and holy enough to ascend and sit at the right hand of God Almighty. Alright, you say, well, the Bible tells us Enoch ascended. It tells us in Hebrews, by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that pleased God. Okay? Maybe Enoch did, but no one saw him. He was not found. Alright? He wasn't seen like Jesus. He might have been saved from death, but risen, taken up so that he did not see death and did not die, but he didn't go to sit at the right hand of the Father. Alright? You say, well, that's what happened to Moses. Didn't Moses ascend? Wasn't he raised up by God? Moses on Mount Nebo, before the people were getting ready to go into the Promised Land, they never found him. No one knows. The Bible just tells us that Moses died and was buried on Mount Nebo. But it doesn't tell us by whom. It doesn't say anything more about him. Alright, you say, well, Elijah. They stood there and watched Elijah. But in Elijah's case, a chariot of fire, God's chariot, came down and swept Elijah up and took him into the heavens. Some translators say this is a UFO that came down and took him away. But no one saw him since. He did not give the promise, nor did Moses, nor did Enoch, to return. Only Jesus did. No one knew where these people went. The Bible doesn't tell us in specifics like it does about Jesus Christ. There are other religions that claim that their prophet, their leaders, ascended into heaven. That's why they're fighting over the Temple Mount in Jerusalem today. Because the Muslims believe that's where Muhammad ascended to heaven from. Did anybody see him? Nope. Does the Quran say they saw him? Nope. Has anybody seen him since? Absolutely not. So you know what, folks? To me, that's a lot higher. There's other beliefs and other faiths that their people ascended or never died. But you see, the Bible doesn't tell us that. The Bible specifically describes the resurrection from the dead and the ascension to sit at the right hand of God the Father Almighty in a position of authority. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. And you know what? He stands there at the right hand of God pleading for you and I, for his believers. Luke goes on to say, they were looking intently into the sky as he was going up. They were watching, thinking, oh my gosh, where's he going? What's he doing? And they watched intently as Jesus physically ascended into heaven. It was a physical ascension of Jesus. It was not a dissipation like smoke dissipates into the air. It was not an evaporation like water evaporates and we don't know where it goes. It was a physical being body that Jesus had post-resurrection that they stood there and watched as he went up out of sight beyond the clouds. They were looking intently into the sky as he was going. Suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. Men of Galilee, they said, why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you, where? Into heaven, what? Will come back in the same way that you've seen him go into heaven. The promise of the rapture, that Jesus Christ is coming on the clouds, that he's going to return to do what? To take his people, the church, the believers, with him. He's going to return physically in the same way, visibly in the same way, in the clouds in the same way, and it's going to be a historical event just like it was when he ascended. I hope it's today. I can't wait. Like Jay said, that's really cool. That's really cool. I can't wait. It's going to be cool. What's the song say? Oh, what a day that will be. Is that how it goes? It's going to be a wonderful event. Matthew describes it, for just as the lightning comes from the east, flashes even to the west, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. In 1 Thessalonians, it describes this event. The Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds. You see, those that have died and were buried in Jesus, when he comes back, are going to rise up to meet him in the air. And those of you who are still alive, if it's today, if it's in a minute or two, if it's tomorrow, we're still alive, we're going up too, just like that, to be with him in the air. Then we who are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Thus shall we always be with the Lord. In Revelation, John tells us, behold, he's coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him. Even those who pierced him will see him, and all the tribes of the earth will mourn over him. Every eye will see him. Everyone will see him, even those who pierced him and denied him will see him, and they'll mourn because they didn't believe in him, because it'll be too late. There will be no second chance. So he ascended up to heaven. They saw it happen. What does that mean for us? It means he's not like a balloon. We know where he went. He went into heaven. But why? And what became of him? Paul told the Romans, who's the one that condemns or judges? Christ Jesus is he who died, yes, rather who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, interceding for us. Hebrews tells us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, who is the author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before him, in other words, it made him happy. He endured the cross, despising the shame, sat down at the right hand of the throne of God, the right hand of God in that position of authority that God says, he's my man. Whatever he says, whatever he does, comes from me. He's my authority. He's my representative. In Psalm 18, I want you to think about this. It sheds a whole new light on some of the passages of the Bible. In Psalm 18, the psalmist says, thou hast also given me the shield of thy salvation, and thy right hand hath holden me up, and thy gentleness hath made me great. Thy right hand, Jesus Christ, holds me up. In the 20th Psalm, it tells us, now I know that the Lord saves his anointed. He will answer him from his holy heaven with the saving strength of his right hand through Jesus Christ who sits at the right hand. In Songs, the book of Songs, it tells us, the Songs of Solomon, I know the Lord saves, no, let his left hand be under my head. Let his left hand be under my head and his right hand embrace me. Through Jesus Christ, comforting and embracing us like you would a baby. In Matthew, Jesus sits in judgment. He separates the sheep from the goats, and you know what he does? He puts the sheep on his right hand, and the goats, the non-believers, on his left. When Stephen, before he was martyred, saw or had a vision of heaven, he saw Christ standing at the right hand of God. In First Peter writes that he's gone into heaven and is at God's right hand with angels, authorities, and powers in submission to him, meaning that he sits there in authority above all rulers, powers, authorities, above the angels, above everything else. Now, I don't know about you, but that's a guy I want sitting there in my stead. When I say, God, I'm a sinner. But look to your right, because there sits my salvation. I believe in Him. I trust in Him. I believe He died for me. He's there, God, for you. And the Bible tells us that He is our only mediator. Nothing else, no one else is mediating for us but Jesus Christ, because He's the only one who sits at the right hand of God in that position of authority. He's the only one that can intercede or mediate between us and God. So the ascension of Jesus Christ was not like some big balloon forever up, up, and away into Never Never Land. He's at God's right hand and promises He'll return in that same way. If you are a follower of Jesus Christ, that's your hope right now. That's your hope and your happiness, that if Jesus Christ comes to this earth, comes back right now, you're going up. You're going up forever and ever. He'll return for you, and until then, until He does that, He'll stand in authority over all the earth, pleading and interceding with the Father in your place. You're not, let me say this correctly, we as sinful people have no place in the holiness of God. But through Jesus Christ, who intercedes for us, we do. We can lift our prayers to Him through Christ. If you are an unbeliever, or you're not a follower of Jesus Christ, or maybe you believe God can't be reached, or maybe you believe God doesn't exist at all, not only do you not have hope, but you do not have anyone at the right hand of God for you. You have no authority, therefore, you're on your own. You're on your own, and I don't know about you, but I don't want to be on my own, because I know how fallible and sinful I am. There's a song that I love. It's called Before the Throne of God. Before the throne of God above, I have a strong and perfect plea. A great high priest whose name is love, who ever lives and pleads for me. My name is graven on his hand, my name is written on his heart. I know with God he stands, no tongue can bid me thus depart. Jesus is not floating around somewhere. He's in heaven, and he will return bodily, physically, historically, in a great way, like he ascended. He did what he promised that he would do. His disciples saw him ascend into heaven, and we wait patiently for his return, knowing that as he said he was going, don't let your hearts be troubled. He's coming back because he said he would. I'll come back for you so that you can be where I am. Let's pray.